Our first reading today was from the Acts of the Apostles. And in it, we hear the story of Matthias, who is one of my favorite saints for a whole bunch of different reasons. First, Matthias is the name of my eldest boy, not a boy anymore, he's 38. And I think that he's just great. And every time I hear that name of that saint, I think of him. Second, Matthias is an apostle, but he is the replacement apostle who was chosen to fill the spot of Judas Iscariot. He was a follower of Jesus from the beginning of the Lord's ministry. That seems to have been a requirement for the job, according to Peter. So he was eligible. And they threw some dice to choose between him and Joseph Barsabbas. And Matthias got the nod. When we hear this story, there are all sorts of interesting questions that come to mind. But in the interest of time, we're going to limit ourselves to just a couple of those questions. The biggest one is this. Why did they need to replace Judas Iscariot? After all, later in the story of the early Christian community, as various apostles went to their heavenly reward, they weren't replaced in this very deliberate way. But think of when this story occurred. Jesus had just ascended into heaven, and the apostles returned to the upper room for prayer and for consideration of what to do next. Shortly after this story, the Holy Spirit was to descend at Pentecost. And somehow it was important that there be 12 apostles for Pentecost. And the key to understanding that might be the number itself, the number 12. The Lord himself had chosen 12 apostles to symbolize the restoration of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this restoration was already something the apostles themselves had been talking about just a few verses prior to the reading that we heard today in verse 6, when they asked the resurrected Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" That wholeness of the kingdom seemed to require recognition of the 12 tribes and thus 12 disciples to represent them. So if they needed someone to replace Judas, the betrayer, how would they determine who it would be? There were lots of candidates. At the top of anyone's list might be Jesus' own brothers, such as James the Just. But there were other people who were part of the circle of followers of the Lord. There were women of prominence, such as Mary Magdalene, often called the apostle to the apostles. But that was culturally too big a leap for first century men. Instead, Peter said there were certain criteria that had to be met. The replacement apostle must be one of the men who accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken from us. One of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection. A witness with us to his resurrection. Peter felt that it needed to be someone who was part of the whole journey and who could speak out clearly that Jesus was raised from the dead. Secondhand reports would not be sufficient. It's interesting to note that by those standards, the Apostle Paul would not have qualified. So perhaps it was a pretty small group. Perhaps only the two men whom Peter set before the assembled disciples for election, Joseph Barsabbas and Matthias. We know nothing of these two men, except that they met the qualifications that Peter had outlined. Now, in our secular and cynical world, we would wonder if Peter was stacking the deck, if you will, by setting up the pre-qualifications in such a way that he would get a person that he wanted as one of the 12. But this was a different world and a different time. And the actual selection was going to be done in a different manner, not an election, but a selection. Peter was simply hoping that God would reveal who could share what they had all experienced faithfully, not as a secondhand retelling, but as a lived experience. And so there were these two men. And Peter did not want to simply name one, though he could, as the named leader. You are Peter, and upon this rock I build my church. He wanted God to reveal the right one. So the disciples prayed and asked God to show them whom they should choose. And then they used an ancient method of choosing. Not an election, what we would expect, but they cast lots. Two little dice called the Umim and the Thummim in Hebrew. A method of seeking God's will that dates back to some of our earliest scriptures. If there had been an election, it would have been a human choice, votes by human beings in that room. But casting lots was an Old Testament way of giving God a mechanism to convey his desire. Throwing the dice would put the solution into God's hands, not their own. And Sarah, this has nothing to do with Tunica. And the dice told of God's will, and so Matthias was chosen. Not because of any particular skill, just because he had been part of the journey all along and God was asking him. Not because of his relationship with the others. As far as we know, he was not a member of any of the families of the other disciples, so there was no dynasty thing going on here. Not because he was renowned for his gifts of proclamation, because I suspect we would have heard something in the Bible about him before now, if he was. Not because of the money he could bring into the church. Again, no mention of that. No other earthly reason. God simply chose him. And I think that's the thing that really appeals to me about Matthias. Because once again, God asked the seemingly ordinary person to step up and serve. That's both a comfort and a challenge to us ordinary people. We can't get away with saying, "No, Lord, I don't have anything to bring to this task that you have called me to." I had a conversation a little earlier this week with someone who is preparing for ordination. And when we asked him about his call from God, he said, "The big guy said, 'Do this.' And I said, 'Aye, aye, sir.'" Suffice to say, he was retired Navy. God taps us to do things. Sometimes it's a whisper in our hearts. Sometimes it's a request from one of your friends here in church, or from me. Sometimes it's a situation that you find yourself in that demands a response. And it rarely has to do with what we think that we do well. And it rarely will yield results that will be not documented on the front page of the Times Dispatch, much less the Bible. It's just God asking us to do something and us saying, "Aye, aye, sir." And the last thing that makes Matthias dear to my heart is that this is the last we hear of him in the Bible. He fulfills his role as the 12th apostle so that there will be 12 of the miracle of Pentecost. And then he does whatever he does in service to God in utter anonymity, just like the rest of us whom God calls. I guess the takeaway from all this for me is that none of us is one of the original 12 disciples, are we? We're all replacements of the originals, several hundred generations removed. We usually discount our gifts and our abilities. Yes, God still finds a way to use us. And our gifts are sufficient for the task he asks of us. On this Sunday, when we wrap up our Sunday school year, it's clear to me that we are very, very blessed with people with great gifts serving in our Sunday school. Kathy and Gail and Ann and April and Karen. And it's tempting for us to say, oh, well, they're really good at that. I'm not sufficiently gifted to do that kind of work or to step in and be a replacement for any of these saintly apostles who work in the Sunday school. And so we ignore God's nudge or a request from me or Kathy or anybody in the parish when we're asked to help out. But God expects us all to be replacement apostles. And he gives us what we need to do the task he sets before us. So I would urge you to consider how you might be one of God's replacement apostles in this place and at this time. Are you meant to be someone who helps teach our children about God's love? Maybe. Are you meant to be someone who writes an article for the newsletter? Maybe. Are you meant to be someone who helps out in our worship as a reader, or as a lay Eucharistic minister, or as an usher, or as an acolyte? Maybe. Are you meant to be someone who offers a warm welcome to a newcomer to this parish family? That one I can definitely say yes to. Only God knows when he will ask you to step up and be a replacement apostle. Only God knows the hidden strengths and gifts that you didn't even know you had. But only you can say, yes, sir, aye, aye. So say it. Say it with fear and with joy. And be the replacement apostle that God knows you to be. Amen.